Praise the Lord. Yes, God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ is present. Are the kids all, is everybody here? Yeah, everybody here that's supposed to be here, and the kids are all already gone and off, and I don't want to get started without anybody that should be here. So I want to, but I do feel like, and I sense that there's, what the Lord is moving and doing is not just, it's not just in song, it's not just in worship, it's not just in prayer, it's not just in this part, this message, it's in everything. So participate in everything. Here's the word, and there's a word that the Lord gave me, and it's a weird word because it's like, and it's like I think, and the reason he gave is because it's like two or three times in my message I've got it written down. And the word is allowance. I say that as a question because I'm questioning what God is wanting to say. And so the word is this, is allowance. The act of allowing, or it's the amount that we allot or grant permission to. And so that word is what I think the Lord is wanting to do this morning is when I say the Lord is wanting to do, the Lord wants to do so much. It's just what we allow him to do. It's what we grant him to be and to do in our own lives, in our own very lives. And it was interesting as I was back there praying as we were worshiping, and I so that word came, and I said, okay, Lord, I allow you to move in me and in this place. And instantly, Matt got up, Robert came to me. Some God started doing stuff and moving stuff, and it wasn't just me allowing, but it was what we are allowing God to do, God is going to do. As we pour out, he pours in, as Matt shared. So the message is really clear, and I want us to get it. There's going to be some simplicity to it, but the simplicity to it is not going to be easy. You guys get that, right? Luke chapter 2. Interesting, last week you were talking about Gabriel, the archangel who presented himself to Zechariah and Zechariah and Mary. And this isn't, he's not named in this presentation as Gabriel, but unless I'm incorrect, which that could be possible, I'm just assuming, we've assumed that this is possibly another appearing of Gabriel. Mostly because of the message that is conveyed. And this is in Luke chapter 2. Love talking about the birth of Christ. Love talking about Jesus coming into our midst at the Advent. It's kind of a drag. I'm not going to say it's a drag or a bummer or sad. It's just, I don't know why we only talk about it at this time of year. It's a major portion of Scripture. It's a major portion of our doctrine, the virgin birth. It's such a vital portion of what we believe, and yet we only spend usually a few weeks talking about the virgin birth. And that's just the way it is. So that's the way it is. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to start in verse 8. Got the shakes this morning, and I don't think it's coffee. Some cheese? Protein? I thought donuts did that. Oh, donuts do this. Mm-hmm. Amen. I'm just teasing. Probably protein would be a better idea than donuts. Oh, gosh. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. I'm going to start in there. It says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields. Before I start, even go on, the Friday night when we come to celebrate the birth of Jesus, and we're going to come and it's going to be a family service. I really want to just have a good time. I feel like the Lord just says, just have a good time celebrating my coming, my advent, my appearing to mankind, bringing salvation to you. Have a good time and celebrate. So that's what we're going to be about. It's going to be a family service. We're going to just celebrate the coming of our Lord. The first advent. Man, oh, God's good. So now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Of course, that's what we talked about that last week, when this appearing of an angel like this and this kind of presence, instantly there's fear that comes over until the angel, verse 10, then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Now, interesting that the angel first, the individual angel first appeared to the shepherds. You know, he asked, why would he have chosen some shepherds? I don't know, that's a question I ask. It's like, why would he? I think that there's, if anything, we could say, and we can come to the conclusion, why would he choose me? And I come to that same question in my own self. Why would he choose me? God knows. God knows exactly why, and he knows exactly who. And if these shepherds were the optimum mouthpiece for God to choose to say, hey, I want to show you something. Because here's what they did. They ended up turning and they ended up sharing it with everybody. So maybe shepherds have big mouths. Maybe they just like to talk a lot to people. Maybe they like to tell stories. Maybe they like, and people, as they went out, they told everybody. In fact, it became widely known that this miracle had happened in their midst. And that's awesome. Why you? Why me? Why any one of us? At any given time, would God say, I want to use you. I want to share something with you, and I'm choosing to use you. Could it just simply be allowance? Allowance. They gave God the allowance. They granted him, God, the permission. And you may say, well, they were surprised. They didn't even ask for it. God knows exactly what's going on in a person's heart. He knows a person's heart. He knows their will. He knows you. And so as he reveals himself to you, God's doing that, and he's knowing that. He's knowing that with a purpose. It's not just willy-nilly buckshot out there just saying, here's God, and it's whoever catches it. The revelation that God has given you of himself to you is specifically and perfectly placed for you. Hello? You guys hearing that and receiving that? Because that's exactly, I need us to understand that. God cares right where you're at. Yes. Well, not only that, but God also, you know, the phrase glory to God in the highest is he comes and he shares it with the lowest. Not only is it glory to God in the highest, but God has now come and he's become a man. God has become a man, a person, a human. That's awesome. I mean, there's so many awesome aspects to this, and I just wanted to break down it to one little thing in this, and actually I'm going to focus on one subject in this, but I first want us to understand this, that this spectacular thing on this spectacular night, world-changing. I mean, completely everything in the world shifted, changed from this point on. Everything. Everything that we have, that we see, that we know now shifted and changed from this point on. And it was the angel of the Lord that appeared and said, and of course, the glory of God was around them, shown around them, and it was made known to them. And they said, all he just said, go and check out the baby. Go and check out this baby, a newborn king. And he describes the baby like this. He is Christ the Lord. A baby now has become Christ, not only Christ, but a Savior who is born to you, who is Christ the Lord. The Lord is a baby. Just blow my mind out. Here's what's awesome, and listen to this. Not only was this child sent from the Lord, but is the Lord himself. Not only is the Lord that is inhabited heaven has now come to our realm, but is glorified. And it's the highest of all glories. Glory to God in the highest through a baby has just happened. Right in their midst. How does God be glorified now in our midst? How does God become glorified in our midst now? Here's so much awesome news I want to tell you. This is good news of great joy. God is glorified in you and through you. Because now, yes, Jesus came as a human, flesh and bone, flesh and blood, breathing the air that we breathe, eating the food that we eat, drinking the water that we drink. And now he comes in spirit and he dwells right smack in your soul and your heart. He comes and lives and dwells within you. So the baby is Christ, the Savior, the Lord. And now when we say yes to Jesus, he is Christ, the Savior, the Lord, dwelling within me, within you. I want to ask a question. And I'm going to get right to it because this question I think is good for us to just ponder, to really think about. And I think it has to do with what God is wanting to do in this morning, in this right now time. What are the things, is there something in your life and in my life, the greatest thing that hinders God being glorified in me and through me? Is there something in me that hinders God being glorified in me and through me? Yes. There is the largest thing, the biggest thing. I know you had it. What was going to be here? Well, okay, that's a good answer. It's really big. It covers a lot of stuff. There's a scripture though that I'm gonna go to. I already know this specific answer, so I know it's not fair, but I want us to just stop and think about this. Yeah, and maybe way to ask it even a little bit more precise is, how or when is Jesus most glorified in us? That's another big question, a big question. But here, really quick and really easy, it's very simple, is when we are like Jesus. Just think about it for a second. So I'm going to go to a verse, and it's Proverbs 19:11. Because I believe this is not only the biggest opportunity to glorify Jesus, but it's also the biggest hindrance from Jesus being glorified in us. Doing this one thing. One thing. What was that movie, that one thing? Never mind. Huh? There it is, City Slickers. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. One thing. Proverbs 19:11. Listen to this. It says that the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger. In other words, the wisdom of a man, the common sense is what another translation will say. The sensible action of a man is what makes you slow to anger. In other words, we don't fly off the handle. We think about it. We have discretion. And that makes you slow to anger. But listen to this. And his glory is to overlook a transgression. Just think about that for a second. His glory is to overlook a transgression. The word overlook. Listen to this. Listen to this. The word it's to our glory, your glory, to overlook a transgression. What is a transgression? Somebody that's wronged you. That's very simple, right? I was looking like it's out there. You've been wronged. To overlook a wrongdoing against you is not to pretend it didn't happen. But to overlook a transgression of somebody that's wronged you, you have to do something. I'm not going to be a Daniel. Ha ha. I'm not elevating myself. I probably shouldn't do this, huh? Oh, heck no. Oh, heck no. I'm not elevating myself so as because I'm proud and puffed up, but I'm raising myself up above a transgression to where I overlook it. Now, because now the offense or the transgression is down there, and it's going to stay down there because I've elevated myself above it. You guys understand what I'm saying? We always tell our kids, and you tell, oh boy, this is, yeah.
Well, and when you don't, though, what? It's right here.
Ouch. Hey, I can't see nothing. Exactly. But here's because it's in your face. But, and what, as you can see that God being glorified, the opportunity, so isn't it, being wronged is simply an opportunity to give God glory. What the heck? Are you kidding me? That's really awesome, but that's not very awesome. That kind of sometimes isn't very easy. Because what do we want to do is we grab a hold of the offense. We grab a hold of the transgression and we run with it, and I tell you and you and you and you and you and you and everybody I know that that person, my brother, my sister, offended me, upset me, they made me mad, they pissed me off. Oh, did I just say something I wasn't supposed to? Everybody else says it. Glory to God in the highest. He dwells in you. He dwells in me. To bring glory to God in the highest is to overlook offenses. I said simple. That's super simple. But I didn't say. I warned you. This isn't going to be easy. But here's where it is. You guys remember the story? You guys... A Christmas Carol? A Christmas Carol. Charles Dickens. It's like he's a fantastic author. One of Blake's favorite authors. And remember how it starts out? It's the ghost of Christmas past. Comes to visit Ebenezer Scrooge at night. Pulls him up out of his bed. You guys know the story. Most of you know the story, huh? Yeah. Most of you just read the movie. Like me, I have read the book. Watched the movie. Read the movie. Watched the movie. You read movies too?
Yeah. That's great.
And so most of us, know the story from the movie. And then there's, smart people that read books and then watch movies. And always say, oh, the book is a lot better than the movie. I just hate you people. I'm just kidding. I don't hate people. That's not what I meant to say. The Ghost of Christmas Past comes and visits Ebenezer Scrooge. And as he's visiting him, what he's doing is he's showing him, if you remember, some incidences in his childhood, in his life, that as he went through things in his life, he was kind of abandoned by his father and abused by his father. As a child, he was left in boarding school, and there's things that he remembers. And what the Ghost of Christmas Past was doing was bringing him to the place where he made a decision to latch onto the offense and let that offense define him and direct his soul even into the direction of his life. And then even to where he was, and as every little thing happened, he realized that that was what was defining him and making him. And it was simply because he was holding on to an offense. He held on to it, and he allowed bitterness to settle into his soul and into his heart, and it directed him and made him the person that he is today. Even to where he was actually engaged, and he was engaged to a beautiful woman, and because these little things had built up, and now he was being defined into where he was, even as he was a young man, this started to make him who he was, and he couldn't even have a right relationship with the woman he loved because he allowed the bitterness of these incidences in his life to make him who he was. You guys following with me on that? Because that's what happened there. And that's what Charles Dickens was really trying to share in the story, is that we allow these things to define us and to make us who we are, and then we find ourselves becoming the thing that we don't like. And that's who we've allowed bitterness. We have allowed offenses to define us. Hello? Hello? Merry Christmas. No, because what we have allowed is what we give permission to direct us. Wow. And so much so he couldn't stand it anymore because he didn't want to see it anymore. And, remember the fiance was going to leave him because he was already defined into this person that he couldn't stand. And even though he loved the person, he loved this girl so much, he allowed bitterness to define him to where he couldn't be anything but that which he already had allowed. Following that? Wow. Every single one of us have a ghost of Christmas past. And when I say that, I mean, even when in the holidays come, Christmas comes, isn't there some sort of emotional tie, an emotional remembrance, something that brings us to a place of, I love Christmas, and some people to a place of, Christmas just makes me sad, stressed. Christmas, the holidays, bring a remembrance of something that is of the past. Right? I'll share a little bit of mine. I grew up my mom was a single mom and trying to raise kids, and then the Christmases that I can distinctly remember and enjoying, I still remember the very last year that I believed in Santa Claus. And it was, but it was really cool because it was that year that somehow I don't know how, we usually didn't have but one or two gifts, if that, and a tree. My mom was a Charlie Brown tree lover. I don't know, she still is. She loved the Charlie Brown tree. Give me the most heinous, straggly looking tree that exists in a tree lot. And maybe, I didn't realize it then. I thought she was like, gosh, mom, you're just a little, what's wrong with you? But it was the cheapest one. It was why? It was the cheapest one. And it was the one that just, you know, all that they basically were just going to throw out. But that was the one Mom would bring home. And so Christmases, to me, they weren't this really great, glorious family time that you know see in the movies and read about in books. And, you know, it was kind of stressful. It wasn't a gift-giving Christmas in our house that I can distinctly remember. And, you know, one of them was, I think we had a whole bunch of gifts somehow, some way, some year, one year. And then we had an uncle that lived with us, and I put it all together recently that he was doing things that he shouldn't have been doing, drugs and mixed up in some stuff, and all of a sudden, all of our gifts were gone from the tree. So there was no gifts that year. No gifts at all. They said somebody broke in and stole them all. And I was like, oh, man. And it caused me to even stop believing in Santa. Santa was like, man, what a bummer. He's, you know, kind of just let us down. Not only did we have gifts, we had them, and then they were gone, and then we didn't really get any. It's like, well, okay. So Christmas always brought this thing in me that wasn't very, very, I don't know, it wasn't really a good time. And that's why I love my wife so, so much, because she does everything in her power, and it just really does, she does everything to make Christmas in our family just this great and glorious fun. Like almost every night of, like for almost the whole month, we decorate the house like crazy. You know, she goes all out and above, and she always, and she does it, and she says, I do it because I love you, and I do it because I know it means a lot to you. And it does. It means a lot to me. It takes away the pain, if you will, of the memory of the Christmases past in my childhood. But that's awesome, because I can hold on to those. I can hold on to those Christmas pasts and say, you know, Christmas just stinks. It's a stinky holiday, and I could make all kinds of things. Oh, it's just all about capitalism. Oh, blah, blah, all they just want to say. It's like, no. With the Lord, it's become glorious and grand, and our family just loves it. We love spending time together. We love celebrating just time together. I mean, last night, I almost was sitting there crying almost all night, because I got to spend all night with my granddaughters watching the Polar Express. It was so much fun, and I was making fudge, and they were making candy, and we were making messes, and it was just a great time, and it was just Robin and I and the little girls. And it's like, wow, this is wanting to instill good memories in these into my children and my children's children is a great opportunity. A great opportunity I could easily miss if I hold on to offenses. Hello?
Yeah,
if I hold on and if I bring myself down to the level of an offense, that's why he says it is to your glory to forgive an offense, to elevate above an offense. What does he say? Is to overlook. You know how, remember you say this to your, do you ever say this to your kids or your, is that, don't bring yourself down to their level. Well, what's that saying? Elevate yourself above the transgression. Overlook the offense. Don't bring yourself down to the level and start wallowing in the mud with the offenders. Hello? And let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you just to get a little insight into something. Every single one of us are offenders. All of us. There are not too many amens to that. But every one of us are offenders. I'm an offender. I'm an offender. You're an offender. We must overlook offenses, overlook transgressions, or else they define us, and they make us what we, and they can actually hinder the glory of God in your life. It is to your glory that you overlook offenses. That means forgive. 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 Just forgive. That's all you got to do. Simple. Just forgive. Don't hold on to it. Don't hold on to an offense. You know, I believe there's two types of offenses. There's an offense that happens accidentally all the time. You know, I didn't wave to you. Because I didn't see you. But you get offended at that. Yeah. No, I'm serious. And you do, and you hold on to that. And you let that, well, he's just a jerk. He's just, you know. Well, okay. And then there's the other kind of offense where I am a jerk. You still got to forgive me. You still got to forgive me. For your sake, forgive me for being a jerk. For your sake, forgive me for accidentally offending you. I do both. So do you. All of us do. We all have something that we have to just simply let go. Give God the allowance. Have you made Jesus? We talk about Jesus becoming Lord of our heart, giving Jesus our heart. Have you made Jesus Lord of your soul? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Have you made Jesus Lord of all of it? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. We make our emotions our Lord, right? Well, you hurt me, so I'm going to react, and I have a right to react because you hurt me. You've just given allowance to your emotion as opposed to allowance to the Lord. That's huge. That's freedom. Freedom, freedom. I'm gonna end with the passage of Scripture. It's Colossians chapter 3. And actually, it's in... And I'll pull it up.
Yeah. They left to go see this baby Jesus.
Yeah.
And they did it. It was almost like, because they had been anticipating this, and then all of a sudden the good news came that he's here, and they left their livelihoods. They left the, what was going to produce for them life to go see.
Just to go see Jesus.
Jesus.
Who is the Savior, who is Christ, who is the Lord. I'm going to sum it up with practical choices that we can make. You guys following with me? You guys with me? Merry Christmas, right?
Amen.
Hello. All right. Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to start in verse 12, but I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation, so you won't be able to follow it up there. You can up there, but it won't be, unless Michael pulls it up in the New Living Translation, but that's okay. Because here's what it comes down to, and this is really good. Says, since God chose you to be the holy people that he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy. Yesterday I was doing, listen to this, I know it's going to take me a few minutes to get through five verses, but it always happens. Anyway, somewhere in my Saturday, I always pray for all of the ministers and the preachers, the pastors of this town that I know. I pray for them at some point, whether it's in men's prayer or whether it's during my day or whether I'm working or doing something or driving. I always lift them up and I lift them up to the Lord that they would speak God's words, that they would speak all these. And as I was praying for them yesterday, the Lord's... I caught myself praying a prayer that I thought, oh Lord, I hope nobody prays that for me. but it was this prayer. It was a prayer, and because I know them, and it was one that I know, and I said, Lord, I pray that there would be humility. Keep him humble, and may humility be ever present in his message and in his heart. And I thought, oh wow, wait a second. That's almost a brutal prayer. It's like that, because how does God keep us humble? He kind of knocks us down, right? Shows us what we're really like. Anyway, with that, I want us to understand that these are things that he doesn't say pray for a tender heart. He says clothe yourselves with a tender-hearted mercies. In other words, you have to put that on. You have to make an attempt, and you have to be intentional. Who just said that? That's the word I was looking for. That's perfect. You have to be intentional about putting these on. Clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy. Clothe yourself with kindness. Clothe yourself with humility. Clothe yourself with gentleness. Put on patience. Make, this is really good. Listen to this, brothers and sisters. Make allowance for each other's faults. You guys hear that? I don't think you all heard it. Yeah. Some of you were distracted by something else. Because we need to say it again. Make allowance for each other's faults. That's what it says in the Bible. The Bible tells you to make an allowance for my faults. And it tells me to make an allowance for your faults. Hello? Have you met anybody that does... you don't have any faults? Oh, okay, you're good. You're good. I was just wondering, I was like, have you met anybody that has no faults? Oh, that little table. Okay. Okay. Nice. I think I'm going to move on. Because you'll have to make an allowance for my fault from what I say if I say any more. Make allowance for each other's faults. That means rise above. When you get offended by you or me or each other, make an allowance for us. Don't allow a fault to sink into your very soul to where you become bitter. Even when you think, this is the enemy's really good at doing this too. Well, that person doesn't really matter. So whatever. I'm not going to care. I don't really care what they think, and I don't care what they say. What you've done is you've cloaked your hurt with a false sense of proud love. Well, I'm rising above it because I'm better than them. That's not what rising above it is. You guys following with me on this? None of you do that one though, right? Make allowance for each other's faults. We all have them. We all have the faults. There isn't anyone in this room. There isn't anyone in this room that has that the faults that they have. And I know this sounds... The faults in your life, I'm trying to word it perfectly so that we can receive it rightly, is that the faults that we have were brought on by some incident, something in our lives, somebody hurt us, and we've allowed that to define us, and now we have a fault in that area. You guys track that with me? There isn't anybody in here that hasn't been hurt by somebody. Basically, that's what I'm saying. That's caused us to be faulty. We live in an extremely imperfect world. And God's called you and I. This is such good news. Good news of great joy. He's called us to simply be salt and light in a dark and decaying world. God is glorified. God gets glory. God is magnified in us and through us when we love each other and forgive each other. Not when you live like that perfect little table over there. That doesn't glorify God. That just makes everybody else feel like they're pieces of crap. No, I'm serious. I'm joking with them, but I'm serious about what we understand about what when we think that God gets glory because I live a sinless life or because I don't do this or do that. come to church and I make sure I do this and don't do that. He's saying that I'm glorified in you and through you when you look like me and do like me. What did Jesus look like and do? He forgave and he loved and he looked at people with faults and he said, come, come into my fold. You are the people that I came for. It's the faulty, it's the hurtful people that he's saying is the most biggest opportunity to give glory to God. Hello? That's awesome. And thank you guys for participating in my nice little illustration. Anytime, huh? Let me finish reading the passage of Scripture. And then, like I said, I believe that God is doing it. And he's doing it. And he's giving us the allowance to get free from holding on to things that we have allowed to define us. And I'm one of them.
No, I like the allowance. I see allowance as like my ability to pay for something.
Yeah.
So and that's pretty neat. And so God's given me the allowance to be able to pay that.
Yeah.
To pay the cost for it, to overcome that fault.
Amen. And that's why I want to say, hear what he says in this. This is so great. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must also forgive others. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, rule in your souls. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message of Christ, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Let the message of Christ not just come out of your mouth, but let it fill your life so much that it comes out of your entire aura, your being, your actions, your speech, everything about you. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Amen. Amen. That's good stuff. Love it. Just love it. Love the Christmas story. The story of the virgin birth. The story of Jesus coming to earth to save mankind. To save mankind from all that has in the past, all that is in the future. Love the phrase, glory to God in the highest. Peace. Peace and goodwill toward men. Peace and goodwill toward men. That only comes through Christ. Only comes through Jesus, the Christ, the Lord. Amen. That's why we love him. That's why we glorify him. Now, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray a prayer that I'm asking you to participate in your own personal self. I don't know what other kind of self you have, but your own self. In giving God allowance. Giving God full allowance. Because God is so awesomely good that he will only go as far as we allow him to go in our own lives. And I know that's like, well, God's God. He can do whatever he wants. Yeah, I know that phrase is very true. But in the midst of your very soul, he will only take charge of that which you give him allowance to take charge of. He will only take control over that which you give him control of. He will only take the places that we give to him. That's God's love. That's God's love. That is who God is. So, Father God, We come to you. We come to you and we just surrender even now. Right now, right now there's a situation, there's an incident in my life that I have given allowance for to define me, that I've become bitter about. And I had nothing to do with it, but I have become bitter and I've allowed that. I've lowered myself to that level and I've allowed that to define me. And that has come out in areas of my relationships, in the areas of my trusting even you, God. So right now, I simply surrender that to you. I surrender that to you. By the grace of your Spirit, I overlook that transgression. I overlook it by looking to you, Jesus. By looking to you, Jesus, who overlooked my transgressions and overlooked my offenses and forgave me, the sinful me. You forgave me in the midst of my sin. You didn't wait for me to come and say sorry first before you forgave me. You forgave me. Said, come just as you are. I love you right where you're at. And now you're asking me to do the same and extend that same forgiveness and grace and tender-hearted mercy and kindness and goodness. And so, Jesus, I need your help. Not only can I not do it without your help, it is impossible to do it without you doing it in me and through me. So I rely on you. I depend on you. I need you, Jesus, to be Lord of my life, to be Lord of my soul, to be Lord of the places that I've held on to as dark places. I've even started to find comfort in those dark places because they become a regular thing, but they're not normal and they're not right. They don't belong. They do not belong. The dark places don't belong in my soul, so I give them to you, Jesus. And I give you, Holy Spirit, full allowance. I allow you to permeate by your light the darkness in my own very soul and shine and be glorified in me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Mike.